No, but they canceled CNC. So CNC for choir.
There are some people that are
literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
should I just go ahead and call it then?
I take his book and then he plays it.
Okay.
But then he takes my book and then it's like, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, geez, the projector. Okay.
No, I mean, I was
okay. All right. I call this meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. We can start with attendance from Director Bloom.
Okay, the attendance question is, if you had the choice to explore outer space or the bottom of the deepest ocean, which would you choose? And then we're going to start with Senator Ash.
Oh geez, you gave me no time to think, I'm sorry. I'll go with space.
Senator Barrios.
I think I'll go with space.
Senator Carlson.
Space.
Senator Cochran.
She went to fill her water bottle.
I know she's here, so it's okay.
I think
Senator Davison.
I'm literally terrified of both of those options, so I
just
cannot go.
Senator Forsberg.
Space.
Senator Cabetta.
How long do we stay there?
It's up to you.
Okay, space.
Senator Maurer.
The ocean.
Senator Piella.
Ocean.
Senator Suki.
Space.
Senator Usmanova.
Ocean, and then fire.
Senator Walford.
Space.
Senator Zierman.
Space.
Speaker Bailey.
Space.
Chair Brown.
The ocean, because I want to find Atlantis, specifically.
Chair Doran.
Definitely the ocean.
Parliamentarian Fault.
No.
Chair Hailu. Chair Happy.
I don't know if you've ever seen the stickers on my laptop. Space.
Chair Learned. Co-President Menke.
I prefer land myself, but I would go into space. That'd be fun.
Ombudsperson Nelson.
Space.
Co-President Elena Vidales.
Space. The ocean is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And space, is it?
Space.
Space is chill.
Not as much.
Advisor Rubel.
Space.
Okay. Chair Taylor.
Neither, because I have an existential crisis.
Controller Thompson.
Space, because I don't believe in the ocean.
And then Director Wyom, which I don't think she's here. Quorum is met.
All right. Now we can move into approval of the minutes. Are there any discrepancies with last week's minutes? Minutes are approved. All right, so we can start today's meeting with a visit from Steve Shelgren, Associate Vice President for Services and Dining Services.
Hi, everybody. I think ocean for me. I don't know. I mean, if you get lost there, at least you're still here somewhere, you know, anywhere. But anyway, so yeah, thank you for inviting me. I come every once in a while whenever I get the invitation. So auxiliary services isn't really in dining services, but dining services is in auxiliary services. So it's kind of an umbrella that includes things that fall outside of the classroom and outside of student life. So it's what we do for you. So it includes feeding you, and includes the campus store, the bookstore, the bookmark, the print shop, the mailroom, and then some other things that aren't student related, like summer camps and conferences and hospitality when you're not here. So that's kind of the umbrella. And then sort of anything else that just falls off somebody else's plate. And so until recently, we did ID card services, and then they fall back to Megan's area. And so they may come back to us. No, just again, it's just a fluid sort of thing, and who has capacity, and who can serve the students and the community best. So today we'll talk about dining service, but you can invite me back and talk about the bookstore and the cost of textbooks and alternative course materials and all of that too. I may bring some support staff with me to kind of give me the expert opinion. I kind of have the overview, but when I was just sitting over here looking at all of you walking in, I sort of reflected back on over 20 years ago, I had the Student Senate in front of me just like this, although we were in Olin Hall, and among you was Charlie Potts. And so he was not as, he was not an officer, he was a young student, you know, and I went, oh my gosh, so that could be you guys. You could be like a dean of students, associate vice president in student life, you know? So great for you to be here and be leaders, right? It's an important job and it will serve you well moving forward no matter what you do, whether you stay in higher ed or where you go in the corporate world or in health service or education or wherever. So thank you for taking the opportunity to expand your horizons and be a leader. So if you haven't seen me without a mask on, which I've had on for 2 years, this is me. And my office actually is in the first floor of the campus center, or second floor of the campus center. As you're walking down the narrowing hallway towards one center from the main stairwell, it's the last door on the left. So anytime you need to visit with me, just stop in and, you know, say, Steve, if you got a second, or send me an email, get on my calendar, or pick up the phone, give me a call, that's fine too. But so what was I talking about with Charlie Potts over 20 years ago? And it turns out it was the meal plan. We had just had an opportunity with this, we don't want to talk about the 1998 tornado because that was so long ago, but it did give us an opportunity to rethink the way that we provided dining service to students on the campus. And so I got in front of them and said, you know, here's where I've been thinking, here's what a core group of students and faculty and administrators have been thinking, what do you all think about this plan? And it was sort of a, you know, outside the box thing that we came up with that was best for, we felt, Gustavus. It wasn't modeled after anybody else. It was modeled after what could we have if we could have whatever we want. And so I said, okay, here's what we're thinking, Student Senate, and you give us your input. And we're thinking that in sort of the old model, the all-you-can-eat model, like you check in, you eat whatever you want, and you check out, or you pay, but you don't ever check in, so you lose that meal. You know, there's a lot of things that were not right with that. And first of all, it was an equity issue. So I'm giving you a little background about where we are right now from where we could be or had been. An equity issue is everybody on campus that lived in the traditional residence hall paid the same thing for their meal plan. Whether they ate 10 meals a week or 20 meals a week, whether they ate a lot or a little, they paid exactly the same price. And so our really big eaters thought that was a really good deal. Our really light eaters said, that's not a very good deal. It seems like we're paying, the light eater is paying to subsidize the big eater. And that doesn't seem fair. So we think there's an equity issue. And I said, I agree with you 100%. The next thing was, that in that kind of system, it's all you can eat. So you get dinged at the door and say, come on in, eat all you want. You paid for it, eat all you want. But you can't take anything out with you. So while you're here, eat all you want, but you can't take anything out the door. And so what happens is, you know, students or customers walk in and they're really hungry, right? Have you ever gone grocery shopping when you're really hungry? Mm-hmm. And you get all kinds of stuff in your grocery basket that you really don't need. And then when you get home, you go, oh, why did I buy that? But, so same thing, every meal, three times a day, you're walking in and going, I'm starving, so I'm gonna take this and this and this and this, and it's really crowded in here, so I'm gonna get 5 glasses of juice and 4 milks and 3 donuts and 5 cookies and 2 bananas, and you pile it all on your tray, and then you go sit down and you go, shoot, I gotta get to lab in 20 minutes, and I can't take anything out with me. So what happened? It all went in the garbage. there was a huge amount of waste. So we had an equity issue and we had a huge waste issue. And then thirdly, in that kind of a system, you say, okay, we're gonna set up for breakfast from 7 to 9, then Steve's gonna shut down and he's gonna regroup and we're gonna get ready for lunch, and then he's gonna serve lunch from 11 till 2, and he's gonna shut down again, and then he's gonna open up and he's gonna get ready for dinner from 4:30 to 7:30. And students said, you know, that doesn't really work for us. We've got labs, we've got choir, we've got athletic, your meal plans aren't fitting my life. And so we want you to be open from early in the morning till late at night. And how can you open up and close things down depending on how busy it is? So it was sort of a, how can you meet my needs as a student and my schedule? So we had a schedule issue, an equity issue, and a waste issue. And so that's where we came up with this. Well, what if we have a declining balance? And so we say, okay, equity issue. If you're a bigger eater, you pay a little bit more. If you're a lighter eater, everybody has to still participate because Steve needs to keep the lights on, needs to keep people employed, right? So there's some fixed costs we need to cover. But then, okay, so if you're a big consumer, you pay more. That just makes sense. And that's what our students and everybody else thought. How would that affect waste? Well, let's say you go through and you say, okay, I'm gonna buy, you know, 2 entrees, a sandwich, 5 bananas, 4 cookies, 3 glasses of juice. Okay, so you paid for every one of those things. If it's a la carte, that means you paid. There's a price for every banana. If you paid $1 for a banana, would you likely throw it in the garbage? Or if you paid for 5 bananas, would you throw 4 in the garbage? We thought, you know, if we connect consumerism or what we have in our resource pocket with what we throw in the garbage, maybe we'll reduce waste. And so we said, well, we'll try it. There was nobody out there. So this is in 1995, 96, 97 when we were thinking about it. There's nobody out there. In fact, the internet wasn't even the internet yet. So I couldn't just Google it, right? I had to travel around the country actually and look at different colleges and say, okay, what are you doing that we might take a hint from and then kind of make it for us Gustavus. There was no model to model after. And then so, okay, we had an equity and we had a waste, and then, you know, how could we be open when it's best for you? So we open at 7 in the morning. We make sure that we're available, you know, when there's a big rush until 10:30, and then we can kind of tone it down a little bit and then get back ready for you at 11:20. And then between 2:20 and 4:20, we can tone it down a little bit. And then, so we can kind of open things up. So we thought this marketplace kind of atmosphere where you can walk in, we have several points of service. And is everything available at every time? No, that doesn't make sense even, because you'd have a whole lot of wasted food because it just gets old. What happens to a pizza when it sits on the hot plate or on the warmer for an hour? It's not very good, right? So you kind of open things up and close things up. We thought we had the idea, ran it past the Student Senate. They said, go, right? Don't see any reason why not. Actually talked to the Board of Trustees before I talked to the Student Senate. And I said, the Board of Trustees, here's what our students are saying. Here's what we think. Raise your hand if you think this is the wrong approach. But wait, this is gonna cost the college a lot more money. It's not gonna cost the students a lot more money. It's gonna cost the students a lot less money. And they said, Steve, tell me about that. Okay, so I go, okay. Well, in the all-you-can-eat thing, you pay, it's a hidden cost. It's, the meal plan fee is $4,000. Whether you eat 10 meals a week or 20, it's $4,000. There's this thing called the missed meal factor. We know that the average person, the average student body is going to eat 14 meals out of 20. We charge for 20. We have this cushion of 6 meals per week. That is just cash for the institution. Not cash for Steve, not cash for Megan, not cash for Charlie Potts. It's cash for the institution to do things like buy new snowblowers and lawn equipment. And that has nothing to do with food, right? And so I said to the Board of Trustees, you've been used to having this big cash flow from the dining service that paid for a bunch of other things. I don't think that's right. Do you think that's right to tell students they're paying for meals, but then to take their money and buy other stuff with it? Raise your hand if you think that's right. This was really ballsy of a guy that was only 30 years old at the time. Okay, so these are old white guys, mostly, and they're businessmen. And here's a young guy saying, tell me if you think this is right. And they're going, I don't think we can argue with that. So we tried it, right? Tornado came through, we built a new building, we put the plan in play, and the first year I lost over $1 million. And the college, the president of the college and the board of trustees called me into the president's office and said, we knew this was a bad idea. And I said, I can fix it. And the vice president of finance said, we can fix this. And so we did. We tweaked it, and we didn't change, you know, the equity issue, the ability of service issue, the waste issue, that all still played. We reduced waste by 80%. So what went into the garbage that was perfectly good food, we reduced by 80% by moving to this plant. If you eat more, you pay a little bit more. If you eat less, you pay a little bit less. That worked. And we were able to make it more convenient for students. So. That's where we started from. I lost $1 million the first year, fixed it so it didn't happen the second year, otherwise I wouldn't be here standing in front of you. And then we've been tweaking it along the way. And so the tweaks are everything that comes from you and students like you that walk into my office or send an email to chef@gustavus.edu and say, Steve, have you ever thought about free-range chicken? Have you ever thought about hormone-free milk? Have you ever thought about fair trade coffee? Have you ever thought about whatever? And most of the time, I say, no, because you're the one with the ideas. Tell me about it. Tell me what you know about it and what that means to serving this Gustavus community. And so all of our best stuff, all the stuff that you really like, that we like to pride ourselves on, all came from you. It's not somebody sitting in an office saying, what should we do to the Gustavus community? It is, how can we respond to what the Gustavus community wants us to do? And so that's the groundwork here. So if anybody is sitting in the room here saying, yeah, but I want to talk about this, or my constituents want to talk about this, I want to talk about it too. And I want you to just stop in the office or send an email to chef@gustavus.edu and say, have you ever thought about this? I'm not feeling great about this. Can we have a conversation? And we go from there. And that's where we get all of our best stuff. So I don't want to disarm anybody. If you had something in your pocket you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about it. And hopefully I can point you in the right direction to get the conversation started. And, you know, I think Ben and I had a conversation a couple of Fridays ago, and just before you visited with a subset of the Board of Trustees. And my, you know, my question to Ben was, how can you best use this time that you have with the Board of Trustees? Because they can get stuff done for you guys, you know? And so do you really want to talk about why a to-go box costs 25 cents? Or do you really want to talk about, I don't know. I mean, the supply chain, can we even get to-go boxes? And so, I mean, sort of the higher level stuff. So if you're talking with the trustees, it's this level. If you're talking about, I think the soup was too salty, it's at a whole different level. And so that's what I think my message today is. Let's give you the tools that you can use both as an advocate for your students, our students, and then also give them the tools to say, you know, I'm going to just point you in the right direction here so that you can get something done. So let's start with that, and then I can talk for hours about this stuff. And I know you don't have hours, but anyway, I just had the fifth meal in a row of turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, gravy, wild rice, and I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it. I also had a physical, my annual physical this morning with my doctor, and I said, okay, tell me about the Omicron variant of the virus. And he said, whew, I think we're in this for a long time. And so what did that mean to me? I said, okay, what are my biggest challenges at Gustavus right now? My personal life is really in pretty good shape. You know, I've got a healthy family, and we're all happy and all that. But so what does this mean for work? And what does it mean to Gustavus students who, you know, after almost 20 months of this, this is how you wear your mask because you're so sick of it, right? So what does that mean moving forward? How can we kind of re-kickstart things? How can we think about the staffing issues that are matters not only at Gustavus but everywhere? But for instance, we have 8 cooks, 4 a.m., 4 p.m. Right now, that's how much is on staff. That's what we're scheduled for. Right now, we have 2. Okay? So I'm at a critical point where we may fail the ability to feed students. What happens if the college can't feed you if you're living here? You have to go home. And if you think that doesn't keep me up at night, you're wrong about that. It's unbelievably heavy on my mind, and so I'm meeting tomorrow with HR, with our finance people, and saying, how can we recruit people to come and work here? And then keep the ones that are here, reward them. Even to hire high school students, we had 3 interviews with high school students yesterday, today and Friday. 2 of them said, nope, I'm going to McDonald's for $15 an hour. We can't even hire high school students. So we have to rethink our pay structure. And I read the Weekly, you know, a couple of weeks ago when the CFs and the residential life staff is saying, you know what? What are we worth? What's the message you're sending to us? Well, I'm sending the same thing. Usually dining has 350 high or college student employees with their work awards that are assigned to dining. 350 is what's typical. This year, 118 have worked for us. So 2/3 of our student body is saying, I'm not working. The full-time staff, if I'm down to 2 out of 8 cooks, I mean, we're really struggling and we're just really trying so hard. I get it. You're saying, I want you to give me more. I want you to be open longer. And we want that too, but we've got some sort of realities here, and that was the message that I think Ben took to the board, you know, subcommittee, was saying, you know what, this is sort of serious, and it's not about how salty the chicken noodle soup is. So, anyway, it sounds like I'm a downer. I'm really not, but I mean, it's reality right now, and yes, we want to do so much more, but our hands are tied. And so when you walk in and you say, orange juice out, orange juice out, orange juice out, orange juice out, it's not because we forgot to order it. It's because it didn't come in. Because it's sitting on a truck somewhere, or it's sitting in a tanker, or in a whatever, somewhere, but not here. It didn't come in. So we've got some real challenges. It's unprecedented, and I just feel bad that you're in the middle of it, but I think we're all going to come out on the other side with more resiliency and a better understanding, and I think maybe some grace. And so when you walk into a place of service and you go, this could have been a whole lot better, we might all think, I wonder if there was something going on that affected their ability to deliver the service that they really wanted to do. I find myself there. If I go into a restaurant, okay, here's a great example. Okay, 2 great examples. I used to always carry business cards with me. So if I go out to eat somewhere, or I go down to Arby's or a Subway or something, and there's an amazing employee, and I go, oh my gosh, they would be so great at Gustavus. I hand them a card and I say, if you're ever looking for a job, give me a call. We've got some openings. I think you'd be amazing, right? So, okay, I hope nobody works at Subway here. Raise your hands if you do. Okay, great. Haven't been to Subway for a long, long time. My wife said, about 2 weeks ago, she said, let's just get a Subway sandwich. So I said, all right, I'll run down. So I go down there. Usually there's like 8 types of bread, right? Yeah. 2 types, white and Asiago cheese. And I said, is that Asiago cheese? The guy goes, yeah, I have no idea. I go, okay, well, I'll take that. And then, you know, it just proceeded to get worse and worse. And they didn't have this, and they didn't have that, and whatever. And I go, okay, honestly, I could not give any of these 3 guys that look like meth heads, honestly, a card and ask them to come up to Gustavus to work. I'm not going to do that. It's just so bad. So then we said, okay, we're not ordering out anymore. We're not doing that. Okay, we're not very good at keeping our promise. So a couple of days, it was before Thanksgiving, we didn't want to make something. I said, why don't I just run to Arby's? I'll get 2 sandwiches and some french fries. Ordered them, got back home. What was in the bag? 1 sandwich and a french fry. Okay. So even if you can get help to, you know, to work, it's just so dicey. And so I'm just like, oh my God, how can we get good people? Just like, how can we get good as students to come here? So this is not just about what we're providing you. It's also how can we recruit students to be the next class of Gusties to come here? You know, in this environment, it's so challenging. How can you get the word out? How can you help tell that story? And then how also can you send people who have concerns to the people like me, or Chef, or Megan, or Charlie, or Anthony, or whoever, that can help before things escalate? Before I heard, or so many people have told me, and I knew this. Okay, so let's not go there because we're not there right now. We need to understand the situation we're in and then just be as efficient as we can about making sure the information is shared and that we're being responsive as an institution to your needs. So, okay, I'll stop now. I could talk for another hour. Not gonna do it.
Yeah, maybe let's open the floor to some questions. So if anyone has any questions, just raise your placards while I do the speakers list.
Yeah, I'll be typing your names in the speakers list, but we're going to start with Co-President Alona Vidalis.
Yeah, I kind of just wanted to ask before everybody else got to their turn, like, you know, is there something that the Senate could do for you? Like, you know, like you are kind of facing unprecedented times, and I think with a pandemic, we're going to have to rethink a lot of the ways that we do things. So I just wanted to see, like, you know, and if you don't know how yet, but ways that we could also help support you, like kind of maybe get the word out about how, you know, the dining services does need people, if there's anything that we can help, like marketing-wise or stuff like that. So I kind of just wanted to kind of put that out there. And if you do have ideas, I know, like, we'd all be super willing to work with you for that.
Yeah, so great question. And thank you for your willingness to help be part of the solution. So Kathy Harms from Econ Management, and this, who knows Kathy? Anyway, she runs sort of survey groups and, you know, sort of focus groups with her management staff. She called for, does anybody have any projects? And so I sent back, and she's worked with us and other projects in the past, saying, yeah, we need to find out why 2/3 of our student employment people are refusing or declining their employment. Why is that? Is it because they've never had a job? They're a first or second year student and they've never had a job. And so it's too freaky for them. So they don't have anything like, yeah, I worked at McDonald's. It's not that big of a deal. I could do that. Or are they afraid because it's so crowded in the marketplace and their parents have told them, okay, stay away from people. You have to be really careful to spread out. And if you work, you know, side by side with somebody, you know, making burritos, that's too close. We need to know that. And is it just in dining or is it across campus? Mm-hmm. So yeah, great. So if you can put your finger on that, why aren't students accepting their student employment awards? And what can we do to assure them that we're being as safe as we can? And if they're vaccinated and we're vaccinated and we're wearing our masks, you know, there's very little risk involved. But yeah, thank you for that willingness to be helpful. It means a lot.
Controller Thompson?
Hey, just what do you think, like, a couple of the big misconceptions are that the student body has about dining service?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they haven't changed forever, right? So So, okay, one, you use powdered eggs, right? Okay, no, so they're free range, cage free eggs, you know, that if they're fried, we crack them. If they're scrambled, they come in, they're already cracked and they're in a bag and they've got some citric acid stabilizer so they don't turn green in the pan. But they're also cage-free eggs. You know, there's nothing powdered about it. But so it's all of that, like, it's mystery meat. We don't know what's in it. It's not real hamburger. Those are the kinds of things that it's fun to spread, you know, and speculate. And the best thing that you can do is say, before I say that and somebody else picks it up and now it's truth, could I just ask somebody? And who would I ask? So first off, who do you ask? You can either stop in the office and ask Steve, or even easier, you're not completely anonymous because we know who your email address was that sent the message, but it's just as easy as chef@gustavus.edu. We have got a great new chef. We've been without one for almost 5 years. So he's an executive chef. He's just super, super talented. But if he's working with 1/4 of his staff, he's flipping eggs, and he's not being creative, and he's not educating, and he's not helping us in efficiency. So until we can bust this problem of staffing, we're sort of in survival mode, and we're not getting getting better mode. So we've got this great resource. His name is Tim, Chef Tim Bourne. He's been at MSU for Mankato State University of Minnesota Mankato for 12 years. Prior to that, he worked in restaurants, maybe a hotel. He's a really cool guy. He gets it. And so, gosh, in the next couple of years, when we can crack the staffing nut and the supply chain nut, mm-hmm. he's going to make us so, so much better. So, and he wants to get out and teach. And he wants to get in front of this group. He wants to get in front of first-year seminars. He wants to get in front of January term classes and teach in the teaching kitchen in Nobel Hall. You know, but again, we're just not there yet. And I feel so bad about that because you are sitting in the middle of it. And it's not your fault.
Senator Maurer?
First, I wanted to address what you were asking about why students aren't accepting their pay. I can only speak for myself as a freshman. I was one of the 2/3 that rejected the offer. So I can only speak for myself, obviously. Part of it was the pay was relatively low, especially for the time commitment.
Yeah.
And when you can just get a summer job that can pay over that amount with when you have nothing else going on, that can be an easier option a lot of the time. And then also just, I think, especially for my grade, since we just came out of COVID, you know, and school is definitely seems more intense to us right now just because it's been easy. I think a lot of kids might be wanting to focus more on school this time around.
Yeah.
At least for this year, because they don't want to like risk falling behind because they're working in the dining center.
Right.
When they have like all like these classes that are really challenging for them because they haven't had regular school in 2 years.
Yeah, super, super great feedback. And I think if Kathy Harm's group does a survey, we'll hear a lot of that. I just didn't want to, you know, speculate. I've talked with Anthony or
Andrew
Costa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm meeting with him tomorrow or the next day to talk about this very thing. And he says exactly the same thing. Students, first year, second year students have not had a traditional college experience. They don't really know what the stress levers are. They know one thing. If they don't have to worry about working 10 hours a week, that's another 10 hours they can focus on something else they don't know. And then they call up mom and dad or whoever's paying the bills and say, could we just not do the work this semester and see how it goes? And so we're wondering if we'll get more students, second semester, especially first and second year students who declined work first semester saying, yeah, I think I can do this. I want to do that. So we're hoping, we're trying everything, but that's just super great feedback, and I think you're spot on.
Yeah, and then I wanted to ask one other question. So I know there's the gusty work crisis right now, in terms of nothing getting returned. What can we do to help with that?
Yeah, so great, and it's actually, happy to report. Is it perfect? No. It's so much better than it had been 2 to 3 to 5 years ago. And part of that also is that first and second year students had no experience with this program. And so they're like, Gustyware, I don't even know what this is. I got emails from first year students saying, I really want to do the Gustyware, but I don't know what it is. And so I go, well, thank you for asking. You know, I don't know how it works, and I'm kind of anxious. You know, like, what if I get to the cashier, and then they go, oh, you got Gustyware. You know, and so I'm like, okay, so we should have done a better job of explaining what it is. But I think once the word did sort of get out through the Environmental Studies Group, helped me out with the name of their acronym or their...
EAC.
The EAC. You know, they've done some educating saying, just put it in the bin. Somebody will come and pick it up, bring it back, clean it, and it'll be there for you to use next time. You know, don't throw it in the garbage. Don't throw it in a snowbank. Don't leave it in a stairwell. Just put it in the bin. Somebody will come and get it. And actually, I talked with our purchaser, Sherry Jacobson, this morning. I said, Sherry, how are we doing with Gustyware in terms of having to replace lost compared to 2 years ago? And she said, surprisingly, we're doing really good. And where we were having trouble even getting the compostable clamshell, you know, takeout containers, she said, those have gone down so much. And so it's working. You know, and I didn't want to say that out loud because I would jinx it, but it sounds like, you know, with the first and second year students, again, not knowing what the program was, just wanting to know what the rules were and happy to follow them, I think we're doing pretty good. So I think just reinforce that, you know, geez, use it, put it where it's supposed to go. They'll come and get it, clean it, and you can use it again. Okay?
Excellent. Senator Kubede?
As someone who works at the dining hall, I would just like to give a small feedback before I ask you a question.
Sure.
One of the main complaints from most of the workers is, as a first-year student, this being our first semester, most of it was saved by Senator Mowers, but for the same amount of pay, for a bigger load of work.
Yeah.
I think that's the main problem with most students. Like, most students can work at the GTS, or they can work at the campus safety,
right,
or they can work at the counseling center.
Yeah.
And they will be just sitting down and doing their homeworks.
Yeah.
But at the dining hall, it's just constant work after work after work.
Yeah.
And since the staff is even smaller, the work even, you know, it intensifies and it gets bigger.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that is the main problem, and also them being paid the same for a higher amount of work. So I think that is the main problem, and most of the complaints that I've been hearing from students
yeah.
at the dining hall as well. Since you don't have an insider view, I might as well just share it with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Thank you.
And the question I have is, most of the students take with the Gustyware, like, spoons, metal spoons,
yeah,
and most of it is not returned back, and some of them are returned in, but they're not in the Gustyware. And usually, when we work in the dish room in the morning, it is kind of hard to find it in the basket, in the trash,
right,
plastic bag.
Yeah.
And is there any way we can help with that as well? Because I do think we're losing a lot of utensils.
Oh, you're 100% right on both messages. You know, first of all, it would not, I mean, I want maybe you to consider a further conversation about, you know, how do we pay people across campus for various jobs? And is there a premium for jobs that aren't, okay, I work for 1 hour, I might actively work for the department for 10 minutes, and I have 50 minutes to study. That's, so the Gustavus years ago said, we don't have work study jobs, we have student employment. The message across campus, across departments is, if you have a student working for you, they need to be working for you, not studying, not on their phone, not visiting, they're working. So that's not really easy to enforce, you know, and so there are pockets where that happens. And then there's this inequity for those people who work in the dish room, and they work every minute because it just keeps coming, right? And you go, geez, how can I get one of those other better jobs? I wouldn't say better. I would say, we should talk about, can we have a pay differential to say, you're actually contributing more to this community than some other jobs, so can we pay differentially? Yes, but I would also say, what am I learning in this job about being a productive member of society? What am I producing? Or am I just getting by and taking a handout? And so I think there's a message there too, that I don't know how to get that out, but you know, how do you tell a person, yeah, you got lucky because you got the luck of the draw? I mean, that's society, right? I mean, we're all lucky, we got the luck of the draw. But how do we recognize that and say, you know, there's some value in you actually doing the work and not just getting handed this work award, you know, that's part of your financial aid. And that's what I think the Career Center, and Megan, you can help me out on this, they wanted to emphasize this past year. They instituted a new program where you had to apply for jobs with handshake, right? Prior to that, the financial aid office, student employment office, just randomly assigned, here's where you're going to work. And then they said, well, let's make this a more real life experience so that we're actually giving our students some, well, this is how you get a job. You go and apply, and then you go through the process and all that. It just, the timing wasn't right because of COVID, because of the reasons that we heard from over here. You know what, I don't even want to work right now. And then on top of that, we're in crisis, so you're working harder because we have only 1/3 of the employees we need. It's just a big mess. So we're working on that. So thank you. And I wonder if this is the right body to just make a statement and say, we recognize that there are some jobs on campus for student jobs, whether they're CFs, whether they're leadership jobs, whether they're, you know, roll up your sleeves and get dirty jobs, that maybe should be paid differently than some other jobs that don't have that same level of responsibility. We challenge you, Gustavus, student employment, HR, Andrew from Career Center, we challenge you to take a look at that. I certainly would advocate that. And you know, your voice matters.
Mm-hmm. I yield.
And part two, you had part two too, right? And what did I miss? Did I get them all?
The spoon part.
Oh, yeah, that's so hard. Oh my gosh. So, that's the thing. Even if you, let's say I'm Steve, and I don't want to bring the Gustyware back. I want to take takeout container. I know I'm going to pay a quarter for it, but it's convenient for me. And then I go, but I really hate plastic silverware. I'm taking a real fork, spoon, and knife. And now you've got that real fork, spoon, and knife in your disposable takeout container, and you're not anywhere near a Gustyware bin. You're forced with this dilemma, what should I do? It's not comfortable for you. You know you're not doing the right thing. You're throwing into the garbage, right? And so then, who does that cost? Does it cost the college? It costs all of you, because it increases the cost of the program, right? So, I mean, if each of you can be a voice, when you see stuff, just say, oh, did you need me to take that back to the bin for you? I would do that. Honestly, we had a supervisor a couple years ago that was following a student down Ekman Mall, right towards the Three Flags. They had the Gustyware in their hand, going to the Three Flags. They were done with whatever they had. They took the Gustyware and they threw it in the garbage at the bin there. And the supervisor said, oh, no, why did you take the Gustyware if you were going to throw it in the garbage? And the student said, well, they charge for the disposables. Okay, really? We also charge for the custody work, but you just threw $5 in the garbage instead of the quarter it would have cost you to take it. So it's all about us kind of checking each other and ourselves and what we're doing. And we can't be the moral police for everybody, but, you know, it's okay to call people out on it. I do all the time, and I'm not that popular sometimes, but anyway, all right.
Speaker Bailey?
Right. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for speaking with us today, first of all. I appreciate all your comments you've said about, like, how hard you guys are working during this whole, like, staffing issue and, like, everything that the pandemic has thrown us. So thank you for that, definitely. And I have a question for you. I know, and I'm sure you've heard this before because it's a pretty common thread, but a lot of students feel that usually at the end of a semester, they tend to have, like, a lot of money left over. They don't really get the opportunity to spend, and then that money kind of just disappears, like it doesn't ever carry over. And I know there is a $275 fee, like for the facilities and everything, so, like that's not even like considering it, like in this
right.
like money.
Yeah.
However, I'm wondering, like, why is there a reason why the money doesn't carry over? Just because to students it feels like that the money that they had, like, this kind of ends up disappearing, and like they don't get the opportunity to spend it, even though that's the money that's supposed to be for them in order to like pay for the food that they need.
That's a great question, and it's one that can take a long time. Or a relatively long time to answer, or a real short time, and that's not very satisfactory. So here's the deal. Yes, there's a $275 overhead fee. That pays for, like, the custodians who clean the place, for repairs on equipment. If a freezer needs to get replaced, you know, it covers that kind of stuff. That's not built into the, let's say, the price of a hamburger. So the price of a hamburger, let's think of it as a pie, okay? And let's say a hamburger costs $1. It doesn't, but let's just say it does, because it's easier, the math is easier. So the price of a hamburger is determined, that $1 is determined by the cost of the food that we have to buy to make that hamburger, so the bun and everything, right, and the meat and the cheese and whatever. Okay, that's 40%. So 40 cents out of that dollar pays for the food part. There's another part that's 40%, and that's the people who work here. So it pays their salary, it pays for their benefits, it pays what, so it's 40%, and then 20% is to keep the lights on and the heat going and the water running. Okay, so utilities, the cost of food, and the cost of people. 40, 40, 20, that's one, right? $1. If at the end of the month, you had $100 left in your account, and you said, I didn't spend it, I want that money back, right? And I would say, okay, but